Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Special thanks to Visa for sponsoring today's podcast. Visa's dedicated to their vision of being the best way to pay and be paid everywhere. Worldwide, Visa has the capacity to process over 65,000 transaction messages every second. Visa helps you get to where you would like to be by making payments fast and easy, wherever, whenever. The only thing left to figure out is, where would you like to be? Visa. Everywhere you want to be.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to Monday. This is First Things First. I'm Jenna Wolf. That is Nick Wright. And that is Chris Carter, live from Atlanta, where he is this morning, but joining us all morning long. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Jenna. Good to see you, Chris.
Good morning. Good seeing you, guys.
We have a great show for you today. Lots of sports happened yesterday. Lots to talk about today. The unstoppable Chiefs, well, they suddenly look mortal. The Cleveland Browns, well, they don't look like the team many were expecting them to be. And there is a lot of finger pointing this morning going on in Dallas with the Cowboys. That's where we start today. Cowboys visiting the Jets. Here we go. Sam Darnold back after missing two games with mono. Dallas lost their last two games, trying to get back on track here. Down 12 in the fourth. Zeke cuts the Jets lead to 5. Jets would add a field goal, but Dak
Is
himself
shot
here with 43 seconds to go. Cowboys need the 2-point conversion to tie, but Dak comes up short there to Jason Witten. The onside kick is no good, because when does that ever work anymore? And Sam Darnold finally has the Jets in the win column as Dak and the Cowboys are left to ponder their 3-game losing streak. CeCe, I'll start with you. Yes, Sam Darnold's back. Yes, the Jets offensive line played great. Give them credit. This is self-inflicting, this loss on the Cowboys. What do you think went so wrong for Dallas?
Well, there's a couple different ways to look at it. What I like to look at, did I overestimate how good Dallas would be? Did I think, like Coach Mangini always talks about, oh, there's no carryover from one season to the other? I just assumed Dallas would have a top 10 defense. At worst, I thought they'd be able to get after the passer. Even if they weren't in the top 10, I thought in special categories, that being sacks, that being turnovers, they would still be a special defense. So for me, that part right there, I missed on. I thought Dallas was a playoff team. But when you have the inconsistency with the injuries, the lack of creativity, that's how you get to 3-3. This is the first time they've lost to a bad football team. So for me, that's very, very alarming. Last week, I knew with Sam Darnold coming back, the Jets would play the best game that they had played all season. This was not a team, because their quarterback was injured, that didn't have the talent to be able to win a game. So I thought it was a dangerous game for Dallas. Dallas played down to the level of their competition. The Jets get the big lead. Dallas is not able to make enough plays. The injuries in Dallas continue to mount. And the last thing, If I'm going to throw a pass with the game on the line, I am not throwing a pass to Jason Witten unless I trick everyone. You got to be a little more creative to try to tie up the game. I don't like a quick slant to Jason Witten in the slot when you know Greg Williams is going to have an all-out blitz. So Dallas has huge problems, and these aren't going to go away soon.
Well, Chris, you touched on what is clearly all of the biggest issues. I'll start in the same order you did. Defensively, Tank Lawrence got that huge contract this offseason. Where is Tank Lawrence? He had two sacks in his first three games of the year. Nowhere to be seen since then. He was supposed to be, Robert Quinn was supposed to be his bookend, not the other way around. So the Cowboys' defense, where they spent some money, has not been elite. Byron Jones, a player that we said is the next on the list for the Cowboys to get paid, he is not having near the season he had last year. And then it comes to the critical moments of the football game in the red zone. We said last week the New York Jets had allowed an impossible 53 consecutive red zone trips to end in points. They hadn't forced a missed field goal, a turnover, or a turnover on downs on 53 straight red zone possessions until Dallas rolls into the red zone. Third and one, Zeke is stuffed. And then on fourth and one, they get Dak out on the move, which in theory is a good move, except you're without your left tackle, you're without your right tackle, and the guy the right tackle is supposed to be blocking actually sweeps over and makes the play along with the safety for the New York Jets, the hard hitter Jamal Adams. So those plays, the have to have it plays, none more notable than the fourth, than the 2-point conversion with the game on the line. This, if the Cowboys had forced overtime, if they had succeeded on the 2-point conversion and won this game 27-24 in overtime, we'd be talking about how ugly it was, how concerning it is, but at least Dallas would be in first place by themselves in the division. They still wouldn't have a terrible loss, even if they had a terrible showing. But it, with how poorly they played, they had the opportunity to erase it right there. And I agree with you 100%. You throw it to a guy who was doing Monday Night Football last year, and it looked like that was your top option because you had the blitz, because you didn't have time. Amari's out of the game. Randall Cobb's out of the game. That's a disaster for Dallas. This is the first time the Cowboys have lost to an 0-4 or worse team in 20 years, which is, these types of losses are the types of losses that can put your coach's job in jeopardy, something a week ago I didn't think was at all possible this season.
And then, CeCe, again, off your point, it's a shame they couldn't take advantage of what was a Philadelphia loss yesterday. Mm-hmm. Clearly would have put them in great position in the division. But how does this Dallas Cowboys team come out and start slow again? After everything we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, you would think they'd come out with a little more energy, a little more gusto. It was yet another sluggish start, and they could never really get into this game.
Yeah, Jenna, you make a great point. You would think with their season coming to play the Jets don't have any energy looking for life. They're going to get after Sam Darnold. So for me, I don't have a problem because I think sometimes people get it mixed up. When people don't execute, they think that they're not focused. So I thought Dallas was focused. I just thought that the Jets were a better football team. Dallas is not a good football team. So I'm not going to say that they had a slow start because they weren't focused. I thought that the Jets came into the game because earlier in the game, it was just back and forth, just jockeying for position. And then we get my man Robbie Anderson makes the big play to be able to give them the early lead. And then it looks like, okay, Dallas might be in trouble today. They're not very good. Their offensive line, we should not use the word great with their offensive line for a long time. Zeke hadn't been great. When you can't force enough turnovers, you can't get to the opposition, that's what you're going to face the problems that the Dallas Cowboys have now. And I believe we're going to be watching this all year, unless we just change our commentary, because I thought Dallas was a playoff team. I have to look at them as just a middle of the pack, a normal NFL team right now, and can they win their division?
What a difference a couple weeks can make. All right, time now for Put a Grade On It, sponsored by CarMax. Sam Darnold put up 338 yards and two touchdowns in his return from mono. More importantly, he got the Jets their first win of the season. Nick Wright, put a grade on Sam Darnold's day.
See, I got to give him an A. Darnold couldn't play last few weeks because an inflamed spleen. We all laughed about having mono. Nobody has it since high school. He was outstanding. He played the type of football that Adam Gase, I'm sure, thought he was capable of playing when he took this job. That is a great win for the New York Jets. I have to give Darnold an A. He was outstanding.
Yeah, he lifted up the whole organization yesterday. He was the difference in this game. Adam Gase's creativity and play calling, you can see the reason why he wanted that Jets job with a young quarterback like Sam Darnold. Exciting for Jets fans who haven't had a lot of excitement. We thought after they lose this game, we'd say, oh, well, let's wait till next year on the Jets. Well, maybe we don't have to wait till next year. Great performance, a performance by Sam Darnold.
know what's ahead. You can't always predict the future, but you can game plan for it. Generations of families and businesses have harnessed the power of Pacific to help them reach their unique goals. Whether you need to save money to meet your needs, ensure your family is protected, or make sure you don't run out of money, Pacific Life has a variety of financial solutions that can help. Pacific Life counts more than half of the 100 largest U.S. companies as its clients and has been named one of the 2019 World's Most Ethical Companies by the Ethisphere Institute. Protecting what matters most to people for 150 years and counting, that's the power of Pacific. Ask a financial professional about how Pacific Life can help you game plan for your future or visit www.pacificlife.com. Versus Chiefs. This one was all KC early. Mahomes gets the scoring started with a 46-yard bomb up to Tyreek Hill. Boy, nice to have him back. Chiefs up 17-3 after one. But Houston came storming back. Mahomes, the rare sack fumble as Houston rattled off 20 unanswered points in the second quarter. Thanks in large part to this, Deshaun Watson. Runs it in himself for the touchdown, 23-17 Texans at the half. Third quarter, Mahomes back at it. Looking, finding his favorite target, Hill, another touchdown. Chiefs up 24-23. Texans weren't done. Watson with his second touchdown run. Two-point conversion puts Houston up 7. Two-minute warning, 4th and 3. And Bill O'Brien decides to go for it. That's a Nick Wright decision right there. Watson finds DeAndre Hopkins for the first down. That ices the game. Texans win, both teams now 4-2. After the game, Watson was asked about his MVP chances. Take a listen.
I don't really get into, you know, the MVP stuff. Me and Patrick always, you know, supported each other since college. When I was getting all the hype and this like that, he would always make sure that, you know, I was staying, you know, healthy and encouraging me and congratulating me, and I'm doing the same thing with him. So, you know, it's always going to be love. It's not any beef or anything, you know, comparing both of us. You know, we just want to, you know, just want to win. We just want to play football, have fun, and you know, be the leaders of our organizations. And that's what we focus on. So the MVP stuff, I mean, that's for you guys to talk about. I don't get into it. I just kind of, you know, focus on winning games and try to get to where we want to get to.
Nick, how'd they do it? How did the Texans beat the Chiefs yesterday?
Well, our friend Colin Cowherd does that Where Colin Was Wrong segment. This is with the Rams in the a moment ago and now the Chiefs.
Right?
This is going to be a little version of Where Nick Wright Was Wrong. They did exactly what the Colts did, but they did it better. I mean, I had been the captain of don't be worried about the Chiefs. Hey, it's time to be at least a little worried about the Kansas City Chiefs, if I'm being honest and fair. Because what the Texans did yesterday was dominate time of possession to an absurd 35-25 is a ridiculous number.
This was 39-20?
It was basically 40-20. And by the way, when you don't have the ball, you can't run plays. Plays run 83-47. First downs. The Texans had more first downs in this game than any team has had in any game all year. So how were they able to do it? Well, Patrick Mahomes is not as mobile as he once was, and he got his ankle stepped on again. That's going to be a recurring theme. They haven't been able to protect Patrick Mahomes. Andy Reid in this game, and this is, I guess, part and parcel with Andy Reid, you had some game management questions, and LeSean McCoy, every time he touched the ball, seemed like he went for 12 yards. He handed him the ball 8 times in a close game where you didn't have to abandon the run. And the Chiefs defense that I said, and I stand by this, at the beginning of the year, we don't know what the defense is going to be. It's got a new defensive coordinator and 6 new starters. Well, now we do know what the defense is, and it's terrible at the moment. They can't stop the run. They can't get off the field. You said Bill O'Brien did what I would have done. I wouldn't go for it on no 4th and 3 when a field goal gives me the win unless I know, well, the defense just is drawing dead to stop us. That's what the defense
and they
was.
Were.
And that is a demoralizing loss. The Colts loss, you can say, was an aberration, was this, is some unluck. This was a demoralizing, run it down your throat, offense never on the field loss. And it was, it was the most concerning loss for the Chiefs in the entire Mahomes era, or mini era, if you will.
I'm very familiar with Nick Wright and his excuses, because that's the same excuses I used to have when people used to tell me, well, Chris, how are the Vikings going to be this year? Oh, yeah, man, we got three or four new starters on the defense. Oh, Chris, how are the Vikings going to be this year? Oh, no, we're going to score a lot of points, man. We added another running back. We got another tight end. Well, how are the Vikings going to be this year, Chris? Man, the Vikings are going to be exciting. The offense is going to score a lot of points. But the reason why we didn't win championships, and I just hope I'm consistent, it just happens to be falling on Nick's neck. This Kansas City team does not have a chance to win a Super Bowl until they address that defense. That defense is horrible. And there is a model out there to beat Kansas City. Look at the playoff game. How many minutes did New England have the ball? Close to 40 minutes. The last 2 weeks, the Colts and the Texans had it 37 and 39 minutes. That's disgusting. If you're a defensive player, you should be totally embarrassed. So for me, I didn't think Spagnuolo was the answer in Kansas City. He hadn't been the answer around the league for the last 10 or 15 years. He had a great run with the Giants, and that's about it. I didn't think his scheme fit his personnel. So this is something that we got to watch. Kansas City with a high-flying offense losing back-to-back games at home? Wow, man, that to me is mind-boggling.
Go ahead.
Well, and the other element here is the bigger picture element is we talk about the Patriots and their schedule and how, okay, whatever it is, they're 6-0. And Chris and you have said all year, this is a 14-2 team. Let's say worst case scenario for New England. There's what, 13-3? So what do the Chiefs have to do to have home field come back through Arrowhead again? 9-1 at a minimum the rest of the way? With they had going into the year, the second most difficult schedule of any team in the league. It gets a little easier, but not much easier coming up. These two home losses, when they're 10-point and touchdown favorites or open as touchdown favorites in this one respectively, they are going to have lingering effects, even if the defense gets better when Chris Jones comes back, who's their best run-stuffing player, maybe their best pass rusher. Even if the offense gets better once Tyreek Hill can play a full complement of plays, not just in packages, these two losses don't go away. And last year, they had New England have to come to Arrowhead. This year, almost assuredly, assuming they get there, right, which I understand at this point is an assumption, Houston saying, why aren't you talking about us going to the AFC Championship game? It would be on the road. These losses, the effects linger all season long.
And then quickly, before we move on, give a little credit to Deshaun Watson.
He's fantastic.
After that first quarter, it would have been easy for them to just sort of game manage and try to crawl back in. He had the composure to keep that team in it and then come back, have a strong second quarter, and then eventually get the win. Let's talk some Vikings and Eagles. Vikings hosting Philly yesterday. This one was all Minnesota all day long. Stephon Diggs made it clear that he wants the ball more. Kirk Cousins got the message loud and clear. Diggs finishing things up. 7 catches, 167 yards, a career high, 3 touchdowns. Cousins tacked on another touchdown to Adam Thielen. And the Vikings win this one 38-20. They're now 4-2 on the season. Here's Kirk Cousins on his big day.
We missed Diggsy on that post at the end of the half. I thought about apologizing to him, but apparently that's not the way to go around here. So I guess my days of apologizing to people are over. So I didn't say a word to him, and I guess we came back to him the second half.
Coach, we'll talk Vikings in a second. Let's start with Philadelphia. How discouraging of a loss was this for this team? They get ready. They're in the process of embarking on is a very tough part of the schedule for them, and they start this off with a loss.
This is a team that has a lot of things to overcome. It historically has been a D-line driven team. That's how they've gotten pressure, but they have multiple injuries on the D-line. Then they try to mix and max pressure. You saw how that worked out against Atlanta. The injuries, the secondary have been dramatic. They need to figure out a way to cobble things together defensively, because they're in a bad spot, and it's not going to get better anytime soon. Now, that being said, they can do so many things offensively, and it's going to have to be driven that way throughout the course of the season. Do I think the sky is falling? No, because they're in a division with that
where
is
the
up,
sky's falling for a lot of other teams.
Everybody, it's a toss-up now. So it's how well they can manage the problems that they have defensively, while maximizing what they can do offensively, and that's going to get better as DeSean Jackson comes back.
See, did you think this was a disappointing, discouraging loss for the Eagles?
Well, if you look at the Vikings, how the Vikings have struggled as far as their passing game, I thought it was very, very disappointing. But they do have some obvious weaknesses, and that being their pass defense, we knew was going to suffer coming into the season. We knew their corners were going to be a weak spot in this defense. But typically, they don't give you the time to throw the ball deep down the field the way the Vikings were able to do. So to see Kirk Cousins thrive against a team that's one of the marquee teams, which this wasn't prime time, but it was prime time for me because the Vikings needed this game. Going against the Eagles is the competition. I thought they did some great things from a pass protection standpoint. They only sent three receivers into the route, went with 6, 7, and 8-man protections, moved Kirk Cousins out of the pocket to give him another launch angle, and had those wide receivers chew up those cornerbacks. So to me, I thought the Vikings really adapted to what they've been dealing with, and Kirk Cousins realizes he's got to be able to play better for this team to be able to reach its potential. And yesterday was Kirk Cousins at his best, Nick.
Listen, I want to give the Vikings full credit because we went into this game talking about how the winner of this game stays in that potential elite category and the loser of the game starts having to ask really hard questions. And the Vikings stepped up. They jumped all over Philly in the beginning. Kirk Cousins had it back-to-back. Excellent games. The concern, though, for Philly, the obvious concern is we saw what this Vikings team did against the Giants secondary, which is considered one of the weakest secondaries on one of the weakest defenses in football. Thielen had a really good game. Cousins had a really good game. They scored 28 points. And now against the Eagles secondary, Cousins has a great game. Diggs has a great game. And they score 38 points. And if Philadelphia cannot rush the passer, who is Philadelphia? The question I would ask the Eagles right now is, what are you great at? What is the thing you can hang your hat on other than the NFC East stinks? Right now, it feels like what Philly can do is similar to last year, where they were alive late in the season, even though they had quarterback injuries. They seemed to have some type of Super Bowl hangover. Well, no one's running away with this division. If they were in the division the Vikings are in, we would say they're cooked. We would say right now they are probably the worst team in that division. And Carson Wentz didn't play terribly. They stopped Dalvin Cook, and they get run out of the gym in a game where, and I know, Coach, you hate when I do this, but that schedule is coming. You have at Dallas, fine. At Dallas all of a sudden doesn't look that hard. Buffalo has one loss. Chicago is one of the best defenses in football. Then you have New England undefeated, and then Seattle with one loss. You are playing four of the best teams in the league over the next 6 weeks, and going to Minnesota and losing, there's no shame in that. But being blown out from the very beginning, you got to ask some really tough questions if you're in that Eagles locker room.
Well, Philadelphia did pull within, what, 3 or 4 points.
And then,
so it's not like they were totally blown out in this game. The game was competitive for a while. I give Minnesota a ton of credit, though, for staying with the running game. And even though they averaged 3.5 yards a carry, they ran the ball 35 times. That's who Minnesota needs to be. They need to start with the running game, and they're the second best team right now in terms of running the ball.
The Niners, yep.
They've got one of the top defenses. So by doing that and having the patience, which most teams don't have the patience when you're only averaging 3.5 yards a carry, it opens up everything else for Kirk Cousins. And this is what Cousins should do. The fact that he's had receivers as good as he's had that have been MIA through the first part of the season, that should never happen. This is the type of team they should be, and I give him a lot of credit for staying with the running game because that opened up everything they did in the passing game.
But for me with the Eagles, the frustrating thing is what we've seen the last couple of games is where they start slow and then they have to play catch up and then they run out of game. And Doug Peterson wants to keep putting on himself, but he said, yeah, we got to find a way to start faster. This has been a theme. It was a theme last year and it's a theme this year. They come out, they start slow. Then they sort of have to kind of play catch up until they have to try to stay competitive. CC, what?
Well, one thing that I think, Jen, I think you make a great point about the slow starts, but I'm going to take you guys back to week number 2. And Coach Mangini will tell you this. I've never been in a situation where we didn't have enough bodies to be able to practice. And that's how the Eagles started off the season. Now, we know they have wholesale injuries across the board, but when you can't practice, and yes, I know they've been practicing since then, but the continuity of practice And because they can do so many things offensively, do you ever really get great at one thing? So for me, that second week when they weren't able to practice because of the bodies, now more injuries are happening. Is that hurting the continuity that affects us in our first 15 or 30 plays? It takes us a while before the offense and before the team gets into the flow of the game. Coach Mangini, I posed that to you. I thought that was a problem earlier in the season. Do you see that as a problem continuing to move forward?
Yeah, it's always difficult when you can't put things together during the course of the week, and then you go into the game and you're trying to get that timing, that rhythm, and all the things that you need to execute effectively in the start of the game, but you haven't really had the opportunity to practice at any kind of tempo. It's tough, and they do need to address the slow starts, and it's easier said than done, and I'm sure they're putting a lot of time and effort into it. It just does make it difficult when you can't actually work on it during the course of the week.
Eagles and Cowboys now tied for first place in the division.
Philly should be sending Sam Darnold some type of edible arrangement or gift basket.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Don't look now, but Kyle Allen. That's the whole sentence. Kyle Allen. Getting his fourth straight start in place of the injured Cam Newton, and he kept that momentum going. Kyle Allen finishing the one off, 20 for 32, 227 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 picks. Christian McCaffrey finding the end zone twice, and Carolina walking away with a 37-26 win. The Panthers now 4-0 since Kyle Allen took over after starting 0-2 with Cam Newton. Here's Ron Rivera on whether this is now Kyle Allen's job to lose.
I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to speculate on anything until I have to address that. So until then, we're going to stay in the now. We're going to stay in the focus on what we're doing right now. So again, as far as I'm concerned, we're just not going to deal with the question until it's time. And when the time comes, and then I will address it. But until, as far as I'm concerned, he's in his rehab program. He's doing his program. Our quarterback right now who's been playing for us is Kyle. And so we're not going to address it.
Nick, you probably know where I stand on this, but just out of curiosity, you think the Panthers should consider sticking with Allen when Cam is healthy again?
Well, at this point, they have to consider it. The guy hasn't lost a game yet, and we know that the Panthers had lost, I think it's the last 9 Cam Newton starts. Now, all 9 of those starts, he was some varying degree of injured, whether he needed a shoulder surgery or the sprained foot or all of the above. But as long as they keep winning, then of course you're going to have to consider staying with Kyle Allen.
But you wouldn't say the same thing with what's going on in New Orleans. You wouldn't say if
they weren't 0-9 in Drew Brees' last 9 start. Well, it's based on all of the above.
Okay.
I think this will solve itself. I think Carolina, what they have coming up after the bye, is at San Francisco, a home game, and then at Green Bay. Either Kyle Allen and the Panthers come back down to earth in that stretch and Cam takes his job right back, or you go to San Francisco and you get a win, and or you go to Green Bay and you get a win in the middle, you take care of Tennessee at home, then Kyle Allen gets to keep the job. Now, yesterday's game, I think people should know, especially because it was a very early start, especially if you're on the West Coast because it was in London, that game was not about Kyle Allen.
Nope.
It was about the 7 turnovers by the Tampa Bay Bucks, 7, and it was about I think it was 14 sacks and tackles for loss combined for the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers defense dominated that football game. But as long as if you're undefeated as a starter and you don't have first ballot Hall of Famer Drew Brees coming in behind you, then yes, see, it has to at least be on the board. Kyle Allen keeps the job. I don't think he will, but you no longer can dismiss it out of hand. At least I can't.
All right, guys, this is what we got going here. This Kyle Allen is starting to be like Johnny Appleseed, Paul Bunyan. And I don't want to, praise Carolina too much because I'm here in Atlanta and they don't like the Carolina Panthers. So I'm going to hold down my enthusiasm. But this is a real conversation. Scott Turner, Norv Turner, offensive coordinator, and his son, quarterback coach, they like Kyle Allen. They like his fundamentals. And since he's been in, the lineup. And even last year's start where he won week number 17, their passing game has been more consistent. So now the question with Cam is, and Cam was in the process of refurbishing his overall throwing motion and trying to learn to deliver a ball a different way. So we know he's got a serious issue as far as his foot. To me, I don't believe the foot's going to be 100% healthy this year. So if the foot's not 100% healthy, is he a better passer than Kyle Allen? Because it's not a better athlete. You can't answer that question because Cam's only got one leg. He's not a better athlete right now than Kyle Allen. He's not a better passer than the quarterback there. So to me, it's fairly simple. And Carolina, after the season, is going to have to make a difficult decision, which I do wouldn't be surprised if they moved off of Cam in the last year of his contract and in the second year of them having a new owner there. So Carolina Panther fans, you can be excited, but there's going to be some ramifications from that kid winning all these games. And I think that ultimately this could be Cam's last year with the Carolina Panthers.
Well, I want to give the devil's advocate argument, if I may, for a moment. If, let's just say, Cam's foot does fully heal. If Cam does get to 100%, we saw Cam at 100% under this new offense the beginning of last year. First 8 games. They're 6-2 when he's playing the best football of his life. That is a higher level than Kyle Allen has gotten to in this league, and I would argue probably would ever likely get to in this league. With how that this defense is playing, and with given the fact that because they're undefeated with Kyle Allen, they're still in the heart of the playoff race. If you were to be able to get back a 100% Cam Newton with Gerald McCoy flying around, Brian Burns has been unbelievable.
But Nick, what is 100% Cam Newton? You act like you know what his throwing motion is going to be like. And he's got a Lisfranc sprain. That's a midfoot sprain on his left foot. We can't expect him to get 100% with that type of injury this year. So even if Cam was to come back relatively healthy, what Cam you think you're getting? Because the throwing motion's changed, and it's going to be a Cam that we haven't seen compared to the guy you're trying to slot into who played the first half of the season and looked good.
But also, is there something to be said for this team? You know, you don't want to kind of, don't shake the boat if the boat's sort of sailing on course. I mean, the team's all playing, doing what they need to do with Kyle Allen. And he's not just a game manager. He's actually playing okay.
Oh, well, I would argue both things are true. He is definitely a game manager, and he's playing more than okay. He is playing very well as a game manager. They are not asking him to drop back and win them football games, which is what you are going to have to do at some point to beat the best teams in the league or to win a playoff game. I guess it depends on what the goal for the Carolina Panthers is this year. If the goal is to try to see if you can go on a playoff run, then Cam Newton is your only chance at that with this defense playing the way it is. Now, maybe that version of Cam Newton
totally
doesn't exist anymore. Go ahead, C.
No. Nick, we don't know what Carolina would be like with Cam. You're just assuming that MVP is going to come back. I'm not assuming that because I haven't seen that guy in a long time. Yes, Kyle Allen is a game manager, but Carolina and their style, run the ball, Christian McCaffrey, throw it to him out of the backfield, play solid D, great special teams. That is how Carolina has been the most consistent. When they've been consistent, those are the things that they do. Cam had that one year where he turned into Superman. But for the rest of it, it's been manage the game, win time of possession, be more physical. I do believe this is a style that this organization can duplicate with Kyle Allen being the quarterback of the team. I had a coach tell me one time, he said, Chris, when you are a superstar, if you allow backup journeyman players to be compared to you, you know whose fault that is, Chris? That's your own fault, because you shouldn't even be having the same conversations with guys who don't have the talent level you do, don't have the experience and all the other things that you bring to the team. So if we ever get in this situation, Chris, where you get hurt and we bring someone in and it's someone who doesn't have experience and all that, and we're comparing him to your work, you know whose fault that is, Chris? That's your own fault. So Cam is in a situation where he can blame no one else but the rigors of this game taking its toll on his body to put him in a situation that he allowed them to see this kid start 4 games. And now the comparison is really there. Where should we go in the future?
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.